We think we are one of few in this day and time because there's a lot of fake news being broadcast from pulpits all across the land and around the world, and we're going to continue to speak along these lines here this morning. Turn with me in your Bible, please, to Galatians, the epistle to the Galatians, chapter 1. And for those of you who hadn't been with us, this will be number 11 in this particular series. However, it's really not hard to catch up with what we've been dealing with, because really, we've been saying the same thing over and over and over again. And that's what I've been doing for about 45 years now, trying to hit the nail on the head, the very same spot. And if you'll keep doing that, you'll finally get that nail driven in. And once we get it driven in, I'll spend the next 45 years on the other side bending it over so it won't come back out. We need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to stand upon truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church itself is built upon the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself is building the church. He will not use any material that He Himself has not ordained that He would use, something that will last, because He puts the preservation in it. Sometimes when I'm building a little something with my hands, I may go to the Home Depot or something, and I might need to get some 2x4s or 2x6s that have been pre-treated. It's got a preservative in them that will be able to stand up under the weather. God is not going to put anything together, folks, that He's going to allow to fall apart. What God does, He does forever. We can count on Him. Now, there have been times that it seemed like the Church of the Living God got pretty slim. And I mean worldwide. It seemed like maybe the apostasy, the anarchy, and the apathy, and the abominations of each generation just overwhelmed. And it's as if the church was pretty much whittled down. But let's not forget, God is not going to leave this world and any generation without a gospel witness. He's going to always have a say with whatever's going on. He's going to have a say. He's not going to let the devil do all the talking. No, sir. He's not going to allow this fake news to just have all the say. He's got plenty to say Himself, and He's going to get it said. And I'm glad, praise God, we're in a never-ending business. Amen. We're not going to go bankrupt. We're not going to go out of business. God's got a going out of business sign hanging in the window of planet Earth. One day He's going to put her out of business. And false religion as well. But the Church of the Living God is in this thing for the long haul. And I'm grateful. We may get slim, but praise the Lord, we'll still be up and about the Father's business. Galatians chapter 1. Our text has been verses 6 through 9. Paul had been in Galatia. He had preached the gospel of the grace of God in Galatia. The people were confronted with truth. And I want to say this to you before I read. Anytime you and I are confronted with truth, that makes us that much more accountable to God. God don't present truth. He don't put it out on a table as a smorgasbord for you and I to pick and choose what we want. He expects us to eat whatever He puts on the table. Amen? It may not be palatable to you. It may be a bit bitter sometime to the taste. But if we eat what God puts on the table, it will nourish us. It'll make us spiritually healthy. It's what we need. And so God, we look to Him as the Apostle Paul. He said, I've come down there and preached truth to you people. And God birthed a church in the city of Galatia. God saved some people. He used the same means that He's always used, which is nothing but the gospel of the grace of God. God won't use anything else. All of this new stuff that men have coming up with today, they're moving the pulpits out. I believe, as somebody said, we ought to nail the pulpit down. And everything that takes place in a church ought to be centered around the preaching and the declaration of the blessed Word of God. Away with these theatrics and dramas and everything else that men have brought in that is more Hollywood-like than it is the church of the living God. We don't need that kind of atmosphere. I don't want people to feel like when they come to Welcome All Baptist Church and they leave that they just left some kind of nightclub experience. I want them to be confronted with truth. Because as we are confronted with truth, we are made more accountable to God. I'm accountable to God for what I preach, and you're accountable to God with what you do with it. And don't ever forget that. You and I both are going to meet this truth that we deal with today at the judgment. We're going to meet it at the judgment. Well, I better read, hadn't I? Galatians 1:6. Paul said, I marvel, I'm absolutely blown away, I'm amazed that ye are so soon, it didn't take you long, so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I pointed out to you the word another there is the Greek word heteros. And it means another of a different kind. Paul said, I preach the gospel of grace to you people. I preach the gospel that God saved me with. I preach the gospel that God revealed to me. I preached it to you. And now you have been so soon, you quickly got off track. And you've been moved to another God, another of a different kind. Why is that, Paul? Why is it another of a different kind? He said in verse 7, which is not another. He said, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He said, there's not another gospel of the same kind. There's only one. There's only one gospel that'll save you. All this other stuff that men are trying to present to people to make it more acceptable by the multitudes so that they can pad the pew and pack the pew. He said, that is not the same gospel that I preach to you, because there's only one true gospel. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It is the gospel that is personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see the Son of God, you see the gospel of the grace of God. He tells us that the Word, John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld Him as the only begotten of the Father. And He said, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. He is the good news. He is the gospel. But this stuff that's being peddled in our day is not produced by God. It's manufactured by men. And it is not God exalting. It's man and flesh exalting. And men are taking credit for the multitudes that are coming forward and meeting and bowing in altars. They're taking the credit for that. You can almost hear them say, look what I'm doing. And a lot of their preachers' meetings and annual gatherings and whatever is nothing but brag sessions for many of them. Let me tell you something. If anybody gets help here today, it ain't going to come from here. It's not going to come from me. It's going to come from God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You ain't going to get help no place else. If the gospel becomes real to you this morning, God will have to make it real to you. I can't do it. He must regenerate. And if God don't regenerate you, you're not going to get it. It'll go in one ear and out the other, as the saying goes. But if God regenerates, who He regenerates, He causes the truth to resonate. Amen. May the truth of God, the gospel of the grace of God, find a home in your heart. right here today, because you ain't going to get to heaven any other way. And you're not going to get help any other way. I taught Sunday school this morning. Brother Ron was away. And so I taught the adults out here from Psalm 29. And I won't go back through that again, but we call it the Psalm of Seven Thunders. Psalm 29. King David observed the birth of a thunderstorm, a great storm, possibly looking out over the Mediterranean Sea. He watched that storm as it was formed, first formed in its early stages, in its infancy. And he watched it as it began to build up strength, moving across those waters, headed toward Jerusalem. And as King David watched that, I told the church family, David was an outdoorsman. He wasn't an Oval Office man. Amen. He wasn't a desk man. He liked to get out there, praise God, where it's at. He liked to get out among nature. He was a hunter. He was a shepherd. He was a warrior. He loved the battlefield. He loved the pasture land. He loved the outdoors. And so he was used to being out in the great storms, and he had probably witnessed many of them. But he watched that one. It didn't scare the daylights out of him. He was fascinated with it. He said, you know, that reminds me of God. David was the kind of man, every way he looked, he was reminded of God. If he was looking into the starry heavens, it reminded him of God. If he watched the sun as it appeared, as if the sun was moving across the heaven, he'd look up at it, Psalm 19, he'd say, that's God's traveling evangelist right there. He's preaching. He's preaching as he goes across the sky. You know what he's preaching? He's saying, world, earth, if there was no God, I wouldn't be here. He preaches the existence of God. David was an outdoorsman. He watched this storm. He said, that reminds me of God. He said, you know, the voice of the Lord is like that. The voice of the Lord. The Word of God. That's what we need. If we try to substitute something else for the Word of God, you know what's going to happen to us at Welcome All? We're going to die. We're going to die. We can't join up with modern religion in our day. We've got to stay the course. Stay with the stuff. We may dwindle down as far as the size or the number or the quantity of us. But may we reduce in quantity, but never in quality. If you do away with the truth to get a crowd, then you're going to reduce the quality of the church. And that's when the candlesticks start going out. One of the worst possible statements I remember reading in the Old Testament in Jewish history is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, I believe. When the Bible said that the Philistines stole the Ark of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, that represented the visible presence of God. It was the mobile throne of God. Where the ark went, it represented God. And they said, we can't win the battle. We've been defeated. Let's attack the Philistines, but bring the ark of the Lord into the camp with us. But you see, it's not enough to have something visible and tangible that you can put your hands on if there's not something going on in the heart as well. You got to be right with God. And Israel wasn't. And part of it was Eli's fault, the priest. He had two boys, two sons, that were taking part in the spiritual form of the congregation. But they wasn't right with God. And he allowed them to go undisciplined. We can't do the Lord's work haphazard. We can't allow just anything to take place. We've got to hold our nose to the grindstone, friends. Every one of us is made out of the same stuff. And it's a carnal stuff. The only goodness about any of us is the presence of God in us, the grace of God. Apart from that, in our flesh dwells no good thing. We got to hold our nose to the grindstone. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. God help us. Eli wasn't right with God. I don't want to get into this too much unless the Holy Ghost wants me to. But through a series of events that I won't go through, the Bible said that Hophni's wife had a baby. When all of the Israel was being defeated, her husband killed, her brother-in-law killed, Eli the priest sitting in a chair falling over backward, obese. He fell over backward, broke his neck, killed him. All of this turmoil, everything going on. Suddenly, she is in travail. She has a baby. And of all things, they named that baby Ichabod. Ichabod. Now, only an idiot would name their dog Ichabod, just to give the dog a strange name or whatever. But friends, there's a message here that God had for Israel. God was the author of that. He put that in their heart to name that child Ichabod. Because the Hebrew word kavod means the Lord is here, the Lord is come. But Ichabod, Ichabod, means the glory has departed. It's left. The Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant, took it away. God taught them better. But they cried, oh God, I would never want that to happen to our church, would you? I would never want that to happen to my ministry. You know, it's... here I am, I've been in it about 45 years, Brother Bill, and I'm probably on the last bend in the road. I'll soon be with my Lord. I sure would hate to make spiritual shipwreck right here in the last turn. I don't want to join the backsliders. I don't want to join the people of this world. The world don't love God. They're the enemy of God. I don't want to be like them. And I keep pleading with God, please help me, Lord. Because you know what I am apart from the grace of God. I'm like a child, always putting my hand to something I ain't got no business to put my hand to. You know how babies do, how children will do, toddlers. When they began to crawl around on the floor and began to stumble around, they always go for the forbidden stuff, right? Whatever you got on the coffee table, you know. Whatever they can pull up to, they go for that. They go to reaching for it. And what does mom and dad finally, they start popping their hand, popping the hand, popping the hand. I'm going to tell you, there are some days my hands stay red all the time because of my Lord popping them. But He does what He has to do. Because I have a tendency in my flesh. I wish it wasn't this way. But again, in my flesh dwells no good thing. God is the only one who can save us. He is the only one who can keep us continually. Salvation is of the Lord. Preservation is of the Lord. I want you and I to stay the course, stay the course, stay the course. And people all around may look over there and say, they sure are quiet over there. They don't seem to be making many waves over there. They don't seem to be making much progress over there. But wait just a minute, folks. God Himself is keeping the books. And He's keeping them accurate and right. And a lot of times I have found out that God was at work doing something silently, quietly. I had rather, you know, I like the way the Apostle Paul put it. He said, I'd rather speak five words with understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue that nobody can understand. And God can take five words and do much more good, make much more progress in our lives than 10,000 words created and hatched up by men. My dad, Cindy and my dad, Susie, our dad retired from Coca-Cola a number of years ago. He went on to be with the Lord in 2001. I worked for Coca-Cola for a while. My brother worked for Coca-Cola for a while. My dad's brother, my Uncle Harry, them two retired from Coca-Cola. I used to pass my dad on the highway, Highway 29. He'd be in that big Coca-Cola truck. I'd be in my car. And my car stood out. It was an old 60 model Olds. And I was a Fruit Loop back in those days. I hadn't got much sense today, but I was a real idiot teenager. And I took that old 60 model Olds and dressed it up so it could be seen. All teenage boys with their car wants to be seen and heard. I jacked a back end of that thing up, Sister Dina. I jacked a back end of it up as high as I could get it. And it went along just like that. Crazy looking. I didn't make much money, so I couldn't afford a glass pack muffler. And I wanted that thing to be heard. I worked at a service station on Sundays of all days. I was a lost teenager. And I worked at the service station, and I put that thing on a rack and brought that car up on a rack, and I took a hammer and I knocked a hole in that muffler. If my dad had known what I did, he'd have beat me to death. I knocked a hole in that muffler so it would roar. I knew if I took the muffler off, it'd be too loud. Dad'd catch it. But I like to, on the inside of that car, on the gas pedal, I had a great big foot. It's shaped like a foot. You've probably seen them. I had that as a gas pedal. And what you young people don't know nothing about, there was a dimmer switch that dimmed your lights on the floorboard, right? You older folks know what I'm talking about. And I had a little bitty foot on that. I had two big pillars in the back window. I'm just telling you. I had that thing souped up on the outside. The car itself was brown. I had two big copper racing stripes on the hood and the back side of that car. And I had a chain going around my car tag. I mean, I was a real rebel. I said all that to say this. On the highway, there's no way my dad could keep from seeing me. If he passed me in a Coca-Cola truck, that car was lit up for him. He could have seen me. I never passed my dad when he was in that Coca-Cola truck that he saw me. He never saw me. My dad was focused. He kept his eye on the road. He was pulling a big trailer, Coca-Cola. He was fixed and focused on what he was doing. He never saw me. Now watch this. I went to a football game. Troop High School playing, and that's where I graduated. I went to the football game. Again, a teenage boy. My dad happened to be there selling Cokes. He was behind the counter. There was a crowd of people crowding around there, and him and those other guys behind the counter, they were selling Cokes and trying to hurry and take care of each one's order. I got up to the counter. My dad looked straight at me and didn't know me. I'm telling you the truth. He did not know it was me. He looked me right in the eye, about that far from me. What do you want? I told him. And he turned around, got the coat, handed it to me, handed me the money. I know my dad. I know he didn't know me. After the crowd died down, I came back over there. And he said, "Hey, boy, where you been?" I didn't tell him I just bought a coat from him. He didn't know. What am I saying? I'm saying my dad was always fixed and focused on whatever he was about to do, whatever he had his hands to. He's the most honest man I ever met in all my life. He would swear to his own hurt. The most honest. Is that right, Cindy? That's the kind of dad that we had. And Buddy, he hated lying. And he caught me in a few of them, and it was a real bad day for me. But my dad was focused on what he was doing. He would not be distracted. Listen, folks, don't you think it's about time that you and I, as the people of God, fix our attention on what God has called us to do, what God has called us to be? Don't look around. Don't be distracted. If the devil can, he'll throw every kind of obstacle before you and distract you and get you off course. And when you get off course, you're in a very dangerous place. You could wreck at a moment's notice and do a lot more damage than you could ever even dream of. God help us. God help us. Paul said, and I believe it's because he loved those people so much in Galatia. You can't preach the gospel of the grace of God to people and not love them. You got to. Paul said, speaking the truth in love. We should never get in a pulpit just to get something off of our chest. Or to get in the pulpit and pour out our heart. I never did want anybody to speak hateful to me. Me and Sam had it out last night. That little dog. And I'm not proud of that either, Susie. I had to apologize to my wife. I feed that. This is a little chihuahua. And if there are any dogs going to go to hell, he'll be one of them. That's the meanest dog I've ever seen in my life. He belongs to my son, Jonathan. And Jonathan and his wife had to go up to see her brother in North Carolina, so we had the dog sit. Is that dog mean, Cindy? There it is. See, I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. That's a mean dog. He wants to lay down with us in the bed, and if we just move just a little bit, he wants to bite a plug out of you. He thinks he owns it. He gets up in your lap. He'll get up in my lap, and he'll get up on his backside, and he'll hold his little paws up and do like this and wants me to pet him and love on him and hug him. But if I do something that's just, if I lay my hand on him the wrong way or whatever, or at the wrong time, he growls and snaps. He's mean. He's just as mean as he can be. I don't remember where I was going with that. Oh, me. I'll just throw this in. How about this? A lot of times that's the way people are when you're trying to preach truth to them. They're always ready to snap at you, right? Bite the blood out of you. You ought to lick the hand that feeds you. You ought to thank God for truth. And I'm not talking about my hand. I'm talking about the hand of God Himself. As a matter of fact, did you know that the word worship, the Hebrew word for worship, one of the meanings is to lick the hand. I promise you, isn't that right, brother? That's the truth. One of the words for worship, one of the meanings for the Hebrew word worship, is to lick the hand. That's what we do when we worship God. We humble ourselves and begin like a dog. Who am I that God would have to do with such a dead dog as I am? That's Mephibosheth's words. And that's the word of everybody who's been regenerated, I believe. We ought to thank God for truth. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for the gospel of the grace of God. And let's stay with it. Let's stay with it. It's the only thing that will work. Nothing else will bring sinners into the kingdom of God. Nothing else will grow and mature and nourish the faith of genuine believers but truth. Let's stay with it. Let's stay with it. Let's not back up from it. That's what we need. My dad was focused. Now let's, on what he would do. You and I are to be focused. And please understand this. Know this for a fact. God is focused. He's never distracted. He never looks another way. He's always fixing His attention on us. Every one of us live. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I may head this way Wednesday, but who was it? Can't think of his name now. This didn't start with R.C. Sproul. The Latin term, Coram Deo. Coram Deo. Brother Sproul in the Ligonier Ministries uses that as a word of purpose for their ministries. I think it ought to be a word of purpose for all of us. Coram Deo means in the presence of God, under the eye of God, conscious of the fact that God is looking on. Don't you think, friend, don't you think when you're tempted to do something, I'll hide this. I'll do it while God's not looking. Because He's always looking. And I think that it would change our lives if we would live with this in mind, that we are living Coram Deo. Always under the eye of God. He's watching us. I'll be the first to admit He is not always pleased with what He sees when He looks in my direction. I may mention that again Wednesday. If I do, any of you who are here, act like you ain't never heard it before. Because I'm going to build on it somewhat. I want to build on it a little. Let me give you this and I'll have to quit for the moment. This is the reason I can't get done with this particular series. I finish reading. Verse 6 again, Galatians 1, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, now here is how serious that Paul was about this. Though we, or even an angel, if an angel comes down from heaven and preaches any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you while I was there with you in Galatia, then let that person or that angel be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now this is serious business. That's sobering. That's a sobering statement. I ask God, I pray about what I'm going to preach. And I ask God, please, Lord, help me when I go to the pulpit. Help me not to speak with any kind of silliness. Because the church don't need silly. The church needs sober. Our generation is drunk. It is drunk on the things of the world. It's drunk on foolishness. It is drunk on heresy, philosophies, as we said last Sunday, which is more philosophies than philosophies. The word philosophy means lover of wisdom. But it's foolishness that people seems to be more attracted to than truth. We need to be sobered. If I have believed something, Sister Faye, all my life, I have believed it to be true all my life. And I find out right here at the closing of the bell that I was wrong. I hope God gives me enough grace to walk over on God's side and take sides with Him against me and what I have believed. Some people are so full of pride you couldn't correct them. You can show them what the Word of God says. It could be written in boxcar letters. But they are so full of pride, they refuse to say, I was wrong. If I'm not right on something, I want God, Holy Ghost, to correct me. But I've told the Lord this, and you better tell Him the same thing. I told Him, I said, God, I ain't going to take nobody else's word for it. You're the only one who can convince me. And if you don't convince me, they may come and tell me that I'm wrong, and they may be right when they say you're wrong. And they may also be on the right track about truth and tell me that they are on that what they believe to be true. They may be absolutely true, but I said, God, I am not going to take their word for it. I'm not going to do it. Because men can be wrong. Let all men be liars, and let God's word be true. I'm told, God, Lord, You're the only one who can convince me of truth. And if You convince me, it don't make any difference what anybody else says. I'm staying with it. I'm staying with the truth by the grace of God. I got a long way to go as a pupil, as a student of the Scriptures. I've got a long way to go. But I hope I'm on the right track. The Apostle Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And that Jewish teacher, one of the most famous Jewish teachers of the day, taught the Apostle Paul his religion. The Apostle Paul believed it until he sat at Jesus' feet. And Jesus taught him truth. And in Galatians 1, you go and read it. Galatians chapters 1 and 2. Paul said, folks, when I got truth, you know what? When God saved me, revealed Christ to me, He said, I didn't go to Jerusalem. I didn't go talk to the other apostles. He said, God took me out into Arabia. He was there for 2 years, two silent years. You know what He was doing? He was being taught truth. God was revealing truth to him. You know why? He had sat under false teaching for so long. And now he grew up with that. He was honed in that. His mind had been focused on that religion. And then God began to reveal the heresy to him and truth to him. And you know what he did? You know what he said? Philippians 3. He said, I count all that dumb, that I may win Christ. He said, it's all loss so that I can gain Christ. How you feel about that? If you don't, you're doing a lot of damage to yourself, to your mind, to your children, your grandchildren, everybody else, because somebody's following you. You're leading somebody. Watch and beware of the fake news. Be careful, because it's everywhere. Lying reporters on TV, sure. But lying preachers, lying religious teachers, they are everywhere. Everywhere. Let's bow together.